Fearless Fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego, and it's time to buckle up for a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers just like you to continue making impact in our communities, building better tomorrows, and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a trailblazer or seasoned pro, you'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations, and we'll chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders to explore hot-button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. Let's get going. Welcome back, Raise Nation Radio. We are so glad you're joining us again. We love connecting with you this way. So whether you're on Spotify or Apple Music or Google Podcasts or the other 7 streaming channels that we're on, thank you for listening in. We're about 130, almost 140 episodes strong, and we love just having this casual conversation with you. If you're new, well, be sure to continue to follow us on whatever channel you're tuning into today so that you could hear all the 130 episodes before this one and the 130 episodes that'll come after this one. But today's a super special, we have super special guests because they're my peers from One Cause. We have Stephanie and Cynthia and Aaron. And hi, guys. Hi. So welcome to the show. So good to have you.
Glad to be here.
Hello. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm so excited to have you, not just because I love you, which I do, and not, you know, just because I love spending time with you, because I do. And we're going to be together next month. So I'm super excited about that. But you know what? It's event season, isn't it? It's really exciting. So I kind of have like a little agenda with you all. I thought it would be really fun if we got the insiders to spill the tea and help us out and help our audience out with what's trending and what's the state of events. So are you game for that?
Absolutely.
Let's right do it.
Yeah, because you three are the people to ask. So I'm going to hit you up with the hard questions. But before we get there, I want our audience to know and love you just like I do. So why don't you all introduce yourself? We could go in alpha order, maybe starting with Cynthia. Cynthia, just tell us what you do at One Cause, how long you've been here. What's your why? Like why One Cause, and anything you want to share personally? And then you could hand it off to whoever you want to, and we'll wrap up with the third. So how does that sound?
That sounds great. So I love my why. I was a customer of One Cause probably 12 years ago. And got to know the software very well because I used it for several years in a row. And then I was tasked with the project of finding who was the best software out there. So I learned a lot about a lot of different software organizations for fundraising. And I landed back on One Cause that I thought it was the best. But then I also decided, because I'd met some of the One Cause staff at the event site on event night and talked with them, that I wanted to become an event manager. So around 5 years ago, I decided to become an event manager. And then I decided that through some pushing of some of my peers, that I should become a One Cause consultant. So for the last 5 years, I've been consulting with lots and lots of organizations, helping them get ready for their event plan. I feel like I really understand how important it is to have your event plan ready to go before event day, and that will make things smooth on event day. And that's kind of where my passion is. So I love being with One Cause and being able to do that with a lot of organizations.
Yeah, we're glad that you did. Okay, who do you want to follow?
Oh,
you,
yeah,
Cynthia?
Let's keep the alphabet going. Erin, let's go.
Yeah. So I'm Erin. I've been with One Cause for about 7 years now. Before One Cause, I was in the travel industry for about 17 years, and I was looking for something else, and I started as an event manager. So I wanted to still continue to kind of give back to the community, and so I started on site, just kind of like the part-time, and I ended up going into, I really wanted to get into something else. Like I wanted to do more. I wanted to just keep going and keep going. So I went for consulting, and then I just kind of left the travel world behind and I haven't looked back. So I enjoy working with our customers on a daily basis. It makes me look forward to each day, kind of different ideas. What are people doing? New experiences. So I enjoy giving back. So that's my contribution to it.
Yeah, thanks, Erin. We're glad you're here. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the travel needed you as well, but we need you more. So glad you're here. All right, that means Stephanie, you're up.
Save the best for last.
Of course.
I am Stephanie. I've been at One Cause for 8 years now. So over the years, I know I have worn many hats at One Cause. And most recently, I'm partnering with our customer success team to really dive into the customer experience. But just like the other two, you know, my why, I am hardwired to help. I love and enjoy helping people. I want to make a positive impact for the country, for our nation, really. You know, you just leave it better than you found it type of thing. And my overall why is always my kids. Pretty much everything I do, it's for my kids. I needed the flexible work environment that One Cause offered, but really just showing them the hard work and integrity and that we can make a difference one person, one nonprofit at a time. They ask me questions all the time. They can hear me sometimes in meetings. You know, who did you help and why did you say that? So it's just been, it's been beautiful to see as they've grown over the past 8 years with me at One Cause. I also enjoy the challenge here. So doing something new and different and solving complex problems has been really exciting for me.
Yeah.
I know. I'm crazy.
You've done so much, and it's nice to see how you've evolved here at One Cause. And that so resonates with me because I have a little more tenure than each of you. I've been over 13 years. Mm-hmm. But my kids, the same thing. I mean, you know, some people call their work a job. Some people call their work a career. For me, it's a lifestyle. And it's so true about what each of you said that, you know, we're a software company. We get that. But really, it's leave the world to Stephanie, to your point, better than you found it. And the causes that we serve are so front and center in everything we do every day. Don't you feel that mm-hmm. just here in the One Cause Nation that we call it, right? Don't you feel mm-hmm. that every day? It's just
all
so,
the time.
Yeah. So it's a good feeling, right? It's a higher purpose and just, we all feel that way. So kind of cool to hear you say it. All right. Can we get into the events? I really want to get into it. So much is going on with events. It's just the state of events. I don't even know where to start, but all right. So what's the creativity that we're seeing right now? What are some creative ways just orgs have been, you know, garnering more donations and maybe enhancing their revenue before, during, after their events? Like, talk to me about creativity. What are you seeing?
I can kind of go first on that. I think people are getting away from more of that gala, you know, they're doing more of those. I see everything from concerts to karaoke nights, different things like that. But then everything that kind of brings them together to increase that are those different what we call revenue enhancers. So
revenue enhancers. Oh, tell me about revenue. Oh, I like the sound of that. What are revenue enhancers?
So it's our kind of way of saying what we would say probably on the back end of like a fixed price, but it's like mm-hmm. a revenue enhancer. So your wine pulls, your bourbon pulls, just different games that you can play on site. Probably the biggest one that I see here, you know, where I'm at would be like the wine and bourbon pull. So bourbon pulls are pretty big stuff. So Stephanie and I are here in Kentucky. So we see a lot of bourbon pulls.
Kentucky bourbon. Yeah.
Always.
Okay. So how does that work? What does the donor do at the event? They tell me how it works.
Yeah. They just, they might have like a wall of bourbon, or maybe they're in like the brown. Yeah.
Yes.
Or like the brown bags where you don't know what's in it. So it's a mystery. And for a set price, you maybe pull a cork out with a number on it. And maybe it's like 20, 50 bucks, 100 bucks. Pull out a cork and then it matches a number. And then that's your bottle. You take it with you.
And I've heard about like now it's not limited to just wine or bourbon. I've heard about like tequila. Is that really happening?
Mm-hmm. They'll call it a spirit pull because they've got all kinds of different things. And the neat thing about it is the organization can get, you know, like wine, $20 or $30 bottles, but then they put a couple of like $100 bottles in there. So people are really excited to purchase it because maybe they'll win the really expensive bottle.
Got it. Wow.
So that's how you can charge more, right? So you've got these, you know, $15 bottles, but then you have one $150 bottle, but you can charge more for the pool because you have this range of spirit bottles. And to Aaron's point, I fully agree. It's galas are still happening, but they're kind of elevated to experiences. So we're seeing a lot of experiences. So don't stop the gala that you're doing if you love it, but adding in an oxygen bar, you know, making sure you have a photo booth. Step and repeat's great, but photo booths are fun because they can do that on their own. Just making it full experiences. We've seen a lot of like almost if you think about like a vendor fair, but maybe not vendors, maybe it's your sponsors. And they have these different tables in your pre-function area and they're talking about what they do. And it really gives them more visibility into your supporters and their sponsoring your event. So it's a win-win. So anything experience-wise that you can think of that you can tell a story through your event, it doesn't have to be a gala, but you can elevate your gala.
I love that. That's really bringing the sponsor into the event and making that connection between donor, sponsor, organization. I never thought of that, but if they bring their sponsored item, then it's kind of like an entertainment factor too. That's brilliant, Stephanie. I love that. Who was going to say something? I interrupted somebody when I wanted to comment.
I was going to say that organizations are trying to put more fun into their event, into their galas, so that it's, you know, just not that standard go eat dinner, do the program, but some fun. So they'll play games. We've seen casino type games. They'll also do like a heads or tails.
Stop right there. I don't know what heads or tails is. I don't understand it. I see it in like a lot of One Cause content and with our event planner partners, but I'm going to admit it right here on Raise Nation Radio. I don't know what it is. Can somebody explain it to me?
Yeah, I got that. So there's different names for it. I just had an organization say that they call it odds or evens.
Okay.
So basically it's the auctioneer or MC is up there on the stage and he flips a coin and it's either lands as heads or tails. So the guests who have bought in to play the game, think of putting your hands on your heads or putting your hands on your backside. So heads or tails.
And okay.
The coin and it's a heads and you were like this, then you get to keep playing. Everyone who had their hands on their tails, they're out. And the idea is to keep going until there's only one person left who guessed right with heads or tails. And then they win a prize. So sometimes, sometimes it's a really, really big prize. Like they get to choose a trip. So the heads or tails price might be a little bit more. And so like odds or evens, you know, you'll hold your fingers up one or two. Or the sponsor can provide a paddle that might be, you know, that one side is one thing and the other side is the other. So the paddle might be their logo that says heads or tails. But I've seen some really unique, fun things there that you can do with that piece. Or the sponsors could provide like a blinky ring or a blinky necklace. So people who are wearing that are playing heads or tails. And then the other guests see that they're wearing something fun and want to know what it is. And it brightens up the event space because everyone's got these blinky rings on or blinky necklaces on. So does that make sense? The heads or tails where you...
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to even admit what I thought it was. It does make sense. Thanks for explaining it to me. But boy, was I off base. I think what I'm hearing is fun, experiences, gamification. Is that right? Is that the trend for 2024? Give me more examples. I want to hear them.
Yeah, I think anything in that, I think that cocktail hour and a half, whatever you use, 2 hours, is a really good time to get use those revenue enhancers. So, I had someone that they do like a treasure chest. So it's where they sell keys to a treasure chest or like a mystery box. And you have to sell all the keys. So it could be like $50 a chance for a key. And then what they do is all the keys have like little ribbons on them, like colored green, blue, so on. And then when they sell them all, they know which key is going to open the box. So they kind of eliminate colors. And then they get it down to where it's like, okay, anyone that's holding a blue key, let's go to the front of the stage or the ballroom. And then they start the conga line of music. And then people go in, put the key in to open up the treasure box. And you could sell, 200, multiple chances of it. So I could have 2-3 keys that I'm going to try to open up this mystery box. And usually in there, it's probably an experience of some sort, concert tickets, plane tickets, or just
bourbon tastings.
Yeah. So usually the prize is a mystery, but it's a pretty good prize. It's in those treasure chests. So it's another one. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Agree with Aaron. With all of these things, all of these revenue enhancers and experiences, we're always fully in the mindset of revenue, right? We want to make sure that these are all fundraising activities. So where golf is an amazing event, you can add revenue with almost anything, right? You can make them pay extra for mulligans. You can do a beat the pro or longest shot contest, celebrity shots. There's all these different kind of add-on things that are, giving them an experience that they're, paying for the fun. But you can take that into any of the other events. You could do tennis and you could do, play with a pro or, hit the ball with a pro. Different things that would be fun that don't really cost the organization money. And people just pay a nominal fee to participate in the experiences. Always fundraising at the forefront, right, of all of these events.
I think it makes it more fun. I mean, I got to tell you a little secret about my husband. He and his fraternity brothers, they actually bet pennies or dollars or something like that on every single sporting something throughout the year. And then at the end, somebody wins like this handmade trophy that my husband spends hours in the basement trying to engrave somebody's name on. And then they ship that to that person to hold for the whole year. And then, but you know what? It's just engaging. It connects people. It makes it fun. So why not monetize that and bring it to your fundraising event? Because this stuff is just fun. Like, putting contests and, the ninth hole, putt for a trip or something like that. It's just, it's fun and it's more engaging. So why not?
I've seen pickleball recently, a lot of pickleball.
Pickleball. Oh my God. I hear pickleball every other day.
Everything. Yeah.
All pickleball. And then what I've noticed, I have a lot of Florida organizations that have been doing like pool parties. So at the pool party, so they'll have entry tickets to a pool party, but at that pool party, they'll have raffle baskets and they'll do like merchandise of maybe their organization has beach towels, sunglasses. So you can just go into just having merchandise like that geared towards that pool party. But I'm seeing way more pool parties than ever. So
wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So monetize everything.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I have a couple of breakfast events or lunch events. And so those are quick and fast. And they wanted to have something that was a revenue enhancer. So they just do an easy 50-50 raffle.
Oh, and there you go.
Especially if you're using digital software for your event, it makes it really easy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, whoever wins the 50-50 raffle,
they donates it back.
To give back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a really easy, quick revenue enhancer that can be added to an event.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know I learned two new words, revenue enhancer. That needs to be top of mind for every fundraiser out there. Talk to your consultant here at One Cause if you're a One Cause customer and talk about your revenue enhancers. Look at your event in a whole new way, right? And make sure you're monetizing everything. Well, now, what about the auction part of events? Is there a rise, a fall in auctions? What trends are you seeing just in the auction component?
That's, it's been kind of changing ever since COVID, right, where nothing was on site and everything was shipped or, you know, pick it up at a carpool lane. But really, we're going into 2024 seeing a lot less quantity, but much higher quality.
Oh.
So where you might get these random donations, and you just put it, you know, you can put them together or you can add them to a pool. So I know a lot of organizations get gift cards and you want to use them. They're great, but they don't sell in a silent auction. Gift cards, $100 gift card. I'm not going to pay $100 for that gift card.
Right.
Generally speaking. So, okay, we'll take those wonderful donations and do a gift card pool, right? We've been talking about pools. So take the donations that aren't necessarily quality for a silent auction, put them in those other revenue enhancer buckets, but really focusing on quality experiences. Again, you're going to hear experiences a lot today, I think, because people want to travel again. They want to travel probably triple than they ever did before.
Yeah, but those travel packages are not easy to put together, to source, to fulfill. Like, how do nonprofits, you know, make that a little bit more simple? You know, it's not easy. How do you get those travel packages?
There's definitely companies that do that. There's companies that put together a nice package that you can include a flight or not. You know, so consignment companies are a really good option if you don't have something in your circle. But I do also know that a lot of organizations have some supporter that has a house in Florida that they're willing to give for a week. So in either case, you're not really out money because with consignment, you just sell it for more than it costs so that you're getting only profit from that. And of course, if it's donated and they have the place, then maybe you need to also get airfare or maybe not.
Yeah. You know, I think consignment used to have like a negative connotation to it, but really not. When you think of sourcing and making sure the place is ready and the concierge service and being able to do multiples and, you know, all that goes into it, I think consignment has taken on a new name, especially if you're working with a trusted partner. So we've seen an uptick with that. Yeah. Good news.
And there's some pretty cool trips out there too. Well, yeah. I've peeped at those consignment packages, and so there's a lot of different options for.
Yeah, we have them on our website. Yep, yeah, choose now, pack later. We sure do. We have them on our website.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty. All right. Well, we're talking about
concerts.
What? I'm sorry.
Pretty cool trips and concerts. There's a lot of concerts.
Oh, Taylor Swift, you all. I had three Taylor Swift live auction packages in the same weekend sell for like insane prices.
Yeah, I'd pay a lot of money for that. I'd pay a lot of money that I don't have. She's just amazing. What a performer. All right, well, let's switch gears because this is all fun stuff. But you know, running an event is not easy. There's just a lot of moving parts and 4 hours to get it right. And you know that there's components of your event that just need attention. And you need to give it attention because, to your point, we're trying to create experiences, and a good experience is not waiting in a check-in or check-out line, right? That's just not a good experience. So can we go over everything from, you know, hello to goodbye at an event and what you recommend to enhance and make that process an experience? See, I'm learning the buzzword here, Stephanie. What do you got for that?
Yeah. So I always say check-in is such a big piece of your event because that is how people are going to, it sets the tone for the whole evening of how they're going to start off that experience, you know, if they're going to be waiting in a line or not. So there's a lot of helpful things to do beforehand. So one of the biggest challenges that we see, you know, organizations having are getting their guest names. That's probably like the biggest thing. We can't get them to give our name. So, you know, I think there's different ways that you can try to do reach outs. I've had some people that once a week they'll reach out. Do you have a guest list yet? Or maybe have a deadline for, maybe the venue doesn't have a deadline, but you can give a deadline, you know, to help get those guest names in there, because no one likes to show up at an event and your name's not on the list. So when that name's on the list, it's just one less thing we have to, you know, you have to search for. Mm-hmm. So probably the biggest thing is trying to really fine tune that guest list in advance. And then, you know, we always look at different things. How are you going to handle maybe your paddles? You know, are we doing different live auctions, different paddle raises? How are we doing that? Are we doing, you know, table assignments? Are we having to organize that? You know, getting all those things done in advance definitely calls for a successful check-in process. So you might not think that the table's all being assigned ahead of time too, but it really does affect just that check-in experience. And then volunteers, you know, getting some good volunteers, the right equipment, all of these factors definitely play in for a smooth, smooth check-in. Signage, things like that, like having the right signage, where to go. If you might have an express line, or a VIP line. So how you handle handout materials. Are we doing name tags? That's a whole other, like, let's put the name tags at a different table, you know, maybe a whole other table. Let's not do that right there with, you know, your check-in volunteer. So there's a lot of different factors when it comes to that smooth, but I think it comes down to having clean data and doing a lot of that. It's a lot of work, but it pays off. That work pays off for that quick time, and then it makes everybody happy.
For their experience, right, Aaron? Their
for their experience, yeah.
I do want to double down on the volunteers that Aaron was talking about. That is so, so important. It's not something that you should be trying to get a volunteer the month of your event. You should be slowly working and poking in for months that you're going to need of these volunteers. I would say at least one volunteer for every 75 to 100 guests, just to make the smooth, fast check-in process. You could have somebody, you know, looking up the name while a different volunteer is grabbing those paddles or programs or whatever. We just want to get them in and drinking and bidding, right? Unless you don't drink at your event, don't do that. but just get them in the door. So volunteers are absolutely crucial. And the amount of volunteers is just as important. The other thing I would say about volunteers, volunteers that are chatty are wonderful and they know everybody, they are going to take longer to check people in. If they know every single person walking through the door, just know that their line will go slower. So
maybe put them someplace else.
Yeah,
they can chat. Well, yeah, well, we want them to chat it up, but maybe they go someplace else.
So they can go to the name tag table.
Move them to the name tag table.
I was also thinking they're the best ones to like be at the door to welcome. They're the best first face. Mm-hmm. Be at the door, say this is where registration is, but they probably would, you know, make the line back up if they're actually at registration. So as you're procuring your volunteers, as you're getting them, you know, thinking of the best spaces to put them in.
Yeah. Speak to their, you know, leverage their strengths, right? Put them where, you know, their strengths are going to work best, and keep the efficient, direct ones, you know, moving mm-hmm. that line along.
But smiley faces too.
Yeah, of course. Always a smiley face. So what about self-directed? I mean, this is all well and good. I get it. You know, put a lot in up front, make that check-in line go smooth, get your right volunteers in the right spots. But I know me today, I'm a little like, I don't always want to talk to people. Which is odd for somebody who's hosting a podcast, but anyway, that's another story. But like, I think donors are consumers and consumers are donors. And I think we're all used to, just a lot of self-directed things. I know I never checked in at, you know, a Marriott property before on an app, and now I do, and now it's the only way I want to do it, right? Or my United Airline, or, you know, Uber and Lyft versus, you know, hailing a taxi. How is technology working in like self-directed check-in, check-out with QR codes? Do you recommend that? Are you seeing that? Is that working?
I think that it depends on, you know, it depends on what digital software you're using for those check-in and check-out processes. And it depends on, you know, what you're handing out. It also depends on what kind of analytics you want. If you just want people in and you want them fast and you want them get in fast, have a good time, and you're not worried about seeing like who purchased a ticket but who didn't attend, then you can use the technology out there. Some softwares have QR codes now, so people can just say, hey, I have my ticket, or just quick scan their ticket and go. There's so many different ways that you can do it, and it depends on how the organization wants to read their data post of it.
Yeah.
And it is helpful to have that data of who bought tickets, but how many people actually attended, so that they can see that from year to year for their planning process. But it sure does speed the check-in process up when you use digital systems.
Tools. Yeah.
And people are getting more and more used to, like you said, you use Lyft now, you don't want to check in the Marriott, you just use the app. So people are getting more and more used to apps, which is helping that experience at check-in be much quicker, because you still have the number of volunteers, but then people are just whizzing through because we're able to use the digital process. But also, you know, the organization has to look at what kind of data do I want in the end. And so yeah, your check-in process and using all of those neat tools is based on what you want your data to read at the end.
So I guess having flexibility in your system is probably important, because there's no every event is alike, but no two events are alike, right? So you need a platform that's modern and flexible to accommodate how you want to what experience you want to give to your guests, right? So
I'm so proud of you, Dawn.
I know. I got it down. Well, now let's go to the end of the event and the checkout process. I mean, that's just as important, right? You know, your first impression and your last memory. So how are we streamlining that process?
So checkout to me is kind of my passion and my touch point for everyone. Because the checkout is the final experience for your guest at your event. And a smooth checkout is so important. Guests are picking up their winnings, you know, the silent auction winnings or the live auction winnings, and then they're going home, and you want them to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I won this. And so a chaotic checkout is not what you want. And we've learned that a best checkout is going to look like that you get the items for the guests. Don't let them pick up their own items, because they'll pick up something wrong, or they'll think they won and they actually didn't. So if you have those volunteers, and I did want to make a little note on the volunteers that are, if you're doing a digital setup for your check-in and check-out, the volunteers that are on your devices, like your phones or your iPads or your laptops, you want to make sure that those people feel comfortable using technology. You don't want to put somebody who's not very technology savvy on those devices at check-in or check-out when it's busy and fast. So have those volunteers on their devices checking the guests out. And then just like Stephanie said with check-in, where one person is on the device checking people in, the other person's grabbing the handouts. You do the same thing for check-out. One person is looking things up, making sure that the guest sees what they've won, what they've purchased. You know, you purchased two raffle tickets, you won this item. And while they're doing that and making sure the right credit card's on file, the other person goes and grabs the item for the guests. So part of the setup at checkout, you want to have that plan together so that you know you've got volunteers taking care of getting checkout ready while the program's going. And then at checkout, it's a good flow for your guests leaving. And they also, so they come with a good flow, and then just lost my train of thought. And then they have a nice seamless flow where the silent auction items are right there at checkout, and that the runners don't have to go very far to get them. So the location of checkout is important. And then having enough runners to grab things so that you just keep things moving quickly. In our opinion, I think that's the best setup for checkout. Mm-hmm. And it, again, finishes up the night with the guest having a good experience.
Yeah, there's that word again.
Yep.
Well, thanks for taking us through that whole flow. Let's get back to some of the good stuff. I mean, you know, we have to talk about check-in and check-out and all of the processes. But I thought maybe we could get back to some of these donation opportunities and the gamification, because that stuff was really, really cool, right? And so what are the donation opportunities? How do you get gamification going in the room? Like, I don't know, between tables or things like that. Any opportunities there that we want to spill the tea on?
Oh, Dawn, I thought you'd never ask.
Okay, I'm asking.
I love, well, not, and I realize not every single event is going to have a paddle raise. So this is going to be specific if you have an auctioneer or MC doing a paddle raise. And what you normally see with that is the tiered, right? 10,000, 5,000, 2,500. And you kind of continue down. And a lot of people were seeing, maybe pre-COVID, the $100 level with like the last hero or last man standing. We saw a lot of that. But in the case that it wasn't clearly explained, there was some confusion. So what I'm seeing, just a huge influx in 2024. I'm talking probably 90% of the people, customers, organizations, I can't talk, that I've talked with are doing, it's called a paddle drop. And
not a paddle raise.
Well, it's a half paddle raise until the $100 level. And then you have a couple of options. So you hit the $100 level and you're like, all right, thank you so much. We've, you know, raised this much because of your generosity. But wait, what's this? And this is where you're kind of bringing in some gamification. So like Aaron said, in Kentucky, it's going to be a bottle of Pappy every time, 15, 20 year, I don't care, 25 year. But some generous gift has now presented itself, and we want to give it to one of you. So at the $100 level, anybody that either drops their paddle on the table, drops it on the floor. I've had organizations where they walk up and drop it on the stage. So you drop that paddle. You don't need that paddle anymore, right? We're done. We've done the live auction already. We don't need our paddle for any reason. We're dropping the paddle, and then volunteers are collecting those paddles off tables. Maybe they're in baskets and they're kind of walking around and you're dropping it in a basket so that they don't have to pick it up off the floor, which I think is generous to do. So they drop the paddles and then they're put into a big pile, and one random paddle is pulled, and that person wins that bottle of Pappy, that trip. But every single one of those people then just gave $100.
I see.
So what happened is that person probably already gave at the $1,000 level because that was what their plan was. And now they've given again. So what we see for the majority of supporters in the room, that surprise gift has made almost 85, 90% of your supporters actually double donate during your appeal.
Yeah.
So
So raise the paddle, then drop the paddle.
Exactly. Yeah. And you'll see a huge participation in that because, okay, it's just $100 at that point, right? It's not a big deal, but you're getting all of these people to do that, which is actually garnering more dollars than that last hero because you were seeing only like a couple, two or three going back and forth. Whereas this is, like I said, 85, 90% of the room is like, oh, I'm $100. I can do that for a bottle of whatever you end up having.
So fun.
Yeah. I've seen organizations take those paddles, the smaller ones, and actually have them all in that basket and throw them up in the air and catch them. And that's just a really nice, aesthetically pleasing way to do that.
Like fireworks.
It's fun and exciting. Yeah,
like fireworks with your paddles. Yeah, so much fun. Now, how do you get competition going in the room, you know, especially like for education, you know, high schools, you get some competitive people. How can you get is there a way to get the tables to compete against each other? Have we seen that?
Yeah. So if you're doing your fundraising event with digital software and it has table reporting capabilities, you can tell people we're going to do a table competition. And whoever donates the most will win something. A lot of people will do a dessert dash. So people are donating to go pick their dessert.
Dessert dash. Oh, okay.
Or they're donating to get like a special dessert at their table and no one else gets dessert.
Or a bottle of champagne.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even like I've seen a sushi plate. They do a table competition to earn a sushi plate for the beginning of the event.
Mm.
So
I've actually seen sell a like a coffee mug and get like a special espresso cappuccino with happy in it, you know, but you have to buy the mug first. So yeah. I've seen that as well.
The bar service at your table. Did you say that? Bar service at the
table? Oh, no. Bar service at your table. That's cool.
You can pay for anything.
Yeah. I guess, right. You can pay for anything.
You parking spot. Gamify anything.
I like our, I'll go ahead and say, we do have a, and there might be some other digital fundraising softwares out there, but we do have this, what we call Donate to Vote.
So
it's one of my...
Like for Dancing with the Stars or something like that, right?
Yeah, I've seen people do some wild things with this Donate to Vote, like voting on next year's theme for the event. So they might, like, the options could be Great Gatsby, Midsummer's. They could do like a different themes and they vote and then whoever, and they could put it up on a slide on the big screen. But that,
oh, you get them excited for next year and you raise money.
Yeah. I had they did like a newlywed game too. Mm. So they had like couples, that
my husband and I would fail.
And you vote for which, you know, newlywed you think is going to win the game, and a lot of, you know, man, woman of the year, competitions, dancing,
prom
singing.
Queen and prom queen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've seen best costume at an event. I've seen that.
Best cost? Oh, wow.
For the Halloween's events, I've seen that. I did a, there's like a luncheon and they did table decorations. So each table did their own decorations, like all out themes. And then you can vote for which table you like, so they can do voting on different tables too, and they're donating.
Yeah,
I get it.
And who raises the most?
Wow, it's really, you know, we're getting people more involved in the event. We're making those connections, and we're raising the money at the same time. I really like how clever these revenue enhancers, because I got that down, are coming along. Wow. So I think, like, just to kind of sum it up, but then I got one more question for you guys. I think it's going to be a curveball, but I know you guys can handle it. So what I'm hearing, let me see if I got this right. Experiences, experiences, experience. Make sure you're leaving your guests and your supporters with an experience. And when you're thinking about experience, think about check-in and check-out, because that's part of the experience and that needs to be seamless. So fun, gamification, to Stephanie's point, everything's got a price tag, right? And revenue enhancers. Did I get all that right? That's what we're seeing for 2024. How do you do?
Yeah, perfect.
Can I be a one-class consultant now too?
Come on.
You could. I think you'd do well.
All right. So I want to wrap up with this concept of fundraising pages. What do we think about that? I've been seeing them a lot. So it's kind of a way to extend the event. Right. You know, you can have a fundraising page as the nonprofit, or your donors or guests or your board members or your volunteers or somebody who might not be able to come to the event but wants to know how to help. Mm-hmm. They're spinning up these fundraising pages that kind of support an event. Yeah. Tell me about that. What's going on here? I'm seeing them all over the place.
I'll take that. You are throwing curveballs. Online fundraising can be year round, right? This is like, it can be attached to an event, right? You can have a fundraising page to an event where that accumulation is, but you can also do it outside of your event. So you can think of these fundraising pages. So an ambassador of your organization, somebody that just truly, you know, lives and breathes your organization. Well, they know people that you don't know. So they can get these, they can go to their community. They can say, you know, I have a personal goal to raise $5,000 for this organization, and they can create their own page and track their own revenue, their own donations. They can do a walk, a ride, a climb, you know, all the different things that you can, that you've seen just for around. You can do those as these online fundraising, using online fundraising tools to track it. You can also make it competitive. So each of those ambassadors, I'm calling them, they can compete against each other. They can see each other's goals and how close they are to goals. So you can make that another gamification, you know, first person to get here gets to have lunch with the executive director. You know, you can do all kinds of fun things.
Next level.
But, yeah. But it's not even the organization that has to do it. They're nominating these ambassadors to take over. We also have like embedded online donation forms. So you can put that on your organization website, and just these passive donations are coming in. You know, you can collect. Obviously, we know this. Fundraisers are always fundraising. You're fundraising before, during, and after an event. Well, you're going to be able to do this seamlessly with online fundraising.
Yeah. Wow. Mic drop. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Don, think of how you said like everything has an app now. Think about your ambassadors, those people who love to go out and tell people about the organization they support. Think about now they have their own little app where they can just email their people and say, this is the best organization. Take a look at this. And then they can donate to that. And they can use that tool pre-event and then see the results at the event. But I liked what you said earlier about like everything's gone to apps. Well, fundraising pages, kind of just think of it as gone to an app, so that the ambassadors who love raising funds for your organization have an easy way to do it now.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy peasy, right? Otherwise, how would you do it, right? If I'm an ambassador, a volunteer, a board member, I can talk up the nonprofit, you know, to midnight, but, you know, get like being able to say, here, you know what, just donate here, makes it just so much easier. We're just making it easier to give, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. This is fun, guys. I think I'm gonna have to check in with you periodically so that you can list out all of the tips, tricks, and trends, you know, so that our audience can listen and then integrate them into their event. And of course, if they're listening and they want to do that, call Erin or Stephanie or Cynthia, right? And we'll get it done. But Fearless Fundraisers, I'm so sorry. I know you want more ideas. You're probably feverishly writing them all down, but do not despair. I'll get them all in the show notes for you for easy access. But that is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's Raise Nation topic and your daily dose of fundraising inspiration. Tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. That's Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. In the meantime, as I said at the beginning of the show, listen to all the episodes on Raise Nation Radio. You have some catch-up work to do, but you can follow the channel that you like best since we do stream everywhere, and this way you can get notifications about all our new guests. I would like to thank our sponsor, OneCause, for making this episode possible. OneCause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out, onecause.com. And please, while you're there, visit the resource tab on our homepage. We have a broad catalog of content. It's all free, and hopefully you'll find it helpful. A huge shout out to my friends, my peers, my colleagues, Stephanie, Erin, and Cynthia for just taking time out of their very busy day to just share some of these ideas and trends. I'm so grateful, but I do have to ask each of you before we call it a wrap, any last dose of inspiration for our audience?
Well, as we all know, fundraising is hard, but it's so, so worth it. And just keep on blazing the trail, blazing the path, helping those hundreds of thousands of people is absolutely worth it. Your mission is absolutely worth it. Get some help.
Because we're here to help, right?
Yeah, don't do it all yourself. There's no way. Delegate out, get some amazing software, get some great partners. It's worth it.
Well, that's a mic drop inspiration. Yeah. I want to hear from my other two colleagues as well.
I would say that was great. Stephanie did a great job. I think planning is huge. So have a timeline, have a run of show, and make sure you have every little nitty gritty detail in that timeline, and that everyone involved in the leadership of the event on event day knows that plan. The plan And the more you plan, the less surprises you have, and the guest will see a streamlined, wonderful event with a really solid plan.
Flawless, polished event, right? Good run of show. That's what that does. All right. Take us home.
Yeah, I'll kind of piggyback off of both of them and say that if you're doing this alone, recruit a friend, family, anyone, call for help. You know, you're not in alone at all. And just keep going. Don't stop. Just think of new things, new ideas. There's always something new out there. And just keep on pushing.
Well, you guys have the ideas. So I'm going to leave last words of inspiration. Call Erin, Cynthia, Stephanie, because they definitely have the tea on what's happening. And I'm going to bring you guys back and we're going to talk more. Maybe we can do this next event season. This was so much fun. Thanks for being guests on the show.
Thank you, Dawn. Thanks.
That was a wrap, Fearless Fundraisers. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.